Today we're going to continue our series on the return of the Lord. Last week in part one, we talked about where are the dead, and they simply have returned to dust. And are the dead conscious? No, they have no consciousness. And will they always be dead? No, they will be raised in the future. Then we started into the topic of do Christians die or perish? And we'll pick that up again today with John 3:16, which is where we ended last time. Here we are in John 3 and verse 16. We read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How great that is, that God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave what we really needed, which was his only begotten Son that he'd waited thousands of years for. And he gave him that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, it doesn't say they won't die, because everybody dies. Actually, everybody's died. Anybody you read about in the Bible, they've all died. The only one that came back to life and stayed alive was Jesus Christ. A few people like Lazarus and a few others in the Old Testament came back to life briefly, but then went on to die. So everybody dies, but the word perish is the key there. It's the Greek word apolomi, which means to be destroyed, abolished, or put to an end, to be completely wiped out forever. And Christians do not perish, but instead they have everlasting life. Now, it may take a while for that to happen. If the Lord doesn't come back for a million years, we're all going to die. Our bodies will return to dust. We'll have no consciousness. But then when the Lord returns, we'll be raised and we'll have newly changed bodies, which are immortal and incorruptible, which we'll read about soon in this class. But we don't perish. We're not destroyed forever. We're simply asleep for a period of time. And that period of time may be a week, a year, or 10 million years. But it doesn't matter to our consciousness because we're simply asleep. And the next thing we know, the Lord is back. So, whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Everybody that believes on him does have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. So the manna kept them alive for a number of years, but they still died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And it's interesting that it's the subjunctive mood in Greek, which shows it's conditional. It's possible that he may not die. And as I think we may have talked about before, there is a small group of people that will be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and those are the only people that will not die. Their bodies will simply be changed. If Jesus Christ returns during this telephone conference today, then we'll be part of that small group that doesn't die. Our bodies will simply be changed. They'll become incorruptible. and we will continue to live. But for the vast majority of mankind, they will die. And then later when the Lord returns, they'll get up. Those that are born again get up in the gathering together. Those that aren't born again get up in one of the resurrections. So, a man may eat thereof and might not die. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you eat the bread of life, you might not die. Because Jesus Christ might return while you're still alive. John 8 and verse 51. John 8:51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And again, we know that all the people that listened to Jesus Christ, the apostles, the disciples, the many, many people, the Roman centurion, so many of those people, the woman from Sidon, all those wonderful people that heard him teach, they all died. So that can't be what it's talking about. But it says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Well, the way it literally reads in Greek is he shall absolutely not see death forever, but he might see it temporarily. So those that believe in Jesus Christ shall absolutely not see death forever, because to see death forever would be to perish, would be to simply get completely, once and for all, destroyed. And those that believe in Jesus Christ simply will not perish. They will not be dead forever. So again, this verse could better be translated, shall absolutely not see death forever, but perhaps temporarily. And that's what we understand to happen, that if the Lord tarries, we will all die, but it will be temporary. Then the next thing we know is there's a shout, there's a trumpet, and we are raised from the dead with newly changed bodies. John 10, verse 25. There you go, John 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, verse 26, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't that great? They shall never perish. That's that word apolumi again. To be destroyed, abolished, put to an end. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They might die, but they will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's interesting. I haven't talked about this much for a while, but there was a game that children would play where you put a coin in your hand and everybody would try to wrench your fingers free and get it. And then if you could, you got to have the coin. Well, Jesus Christ said, those that follow me, I have them in my hand and nobody can get them out. In other words, they'll be safe and I'll protect them. And then he goes further to say, nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand at all. If God is protecting you and giving you eternal life, you've got it. So verse 28 again, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They'll never be destroyed or abolished. They might die, but they won't perish. Let's go to John chapter 11. Fascinating. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And here in John 11, verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved... Oh, let me back up there. When Jesus heard of that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, meaning towards death. It didn't ultimately result in death because he was raised to life. He did die, but it was temporary. At the end of the section, although he was dead for a few days, he was raised back to life. So it didn't ultimately end in death. Death was a small part of it, but it's a little bit of like us. We will die if the Lord tarries, but it won't end up in perishing. So verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death or toward death. It doesn't ultimately lead to death because he was raised to life, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 5 of John 11. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Verse 8 of John 11. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Last time we went there, they tried to stone you to death. Sure you still want to go down there? Jesus answered, verse 9, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now this is the first time we've heard this here, but we'll see this more and more. If somebody's dead temporarily, it refers to it in the scriptures that he's simply sleeping. Because think of if you have a good long night's sleep, you with no dreams, you are just out cold. You have no consciousness of anything, you're not aware of anything. You could sleep 1 hour, 4 hours, 12 hours, you wouldn't even know. But then you get up. And that's the way death is referred to for Christians as sleeping. And we'll read more about that as we proceed. So verse 11, These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. If he's sick and he's sleeping, leave him alone. Albeit Jesus spoke of his death, verse 13, but they thought that he'd spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. There's always a sort of a grumpy person in the crowd. That was Thomas. Might as well all go die too. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in a grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh, or close unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Mary, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she said, I know he's getting up in the future. Jesus said unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And again, this is a Greek phrase that we saw back in John 8:51. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall absolutely not die forever, but perhaps temporarily. Believest thou this? So whosoever believeth in me shall not die forever, but perhaps temporarily. Believest thou this? And then they go on, and of course he does raise Lazarus from the dead. Romans 14. Great stuff here. Romans 14. In verse 8. But for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So, sometimes Christians live, sometimes they die, but they never perish. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:18 is interesting. And then we'll have one in chapter 15, which I think will really pull all this together here. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And those that do perish are those that don't believe in Jesus Christ, whose names are not in the book of life, in the second resurrection. They go on to the second death, which is perishing. We'll read about that later in the class. So to those that perish, those that don't believe God to go on to eternal life, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, who do have eternal life, it's the power of God. So it draws a big distinction there. Those that perish, who don't believe in Jesus Christ, preaching the cross is just foolishness. They have no spirit, they don't get it. But unto us which are saved, born again, it is the power of God. Very interesting there. So there's a big distinction between those that are saved with eternal life and those that will one day perish. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. I think this draws a great distinction between dying and perishing. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great section. We'll probably cover in more detail later, but we'll look at a little bit of it now. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? They must have had a tough time in their fellowship. I mean, we all disagree about this and that, and argue about this and that, and different groups have different views of Christianity. But here was, there were some people in the fellowship in Corinth that said there's no resurrection of the dead. And we know that without the resurrection of the dead, we have no eternal life. We can't get born again. So they had some really radical disputes in their fellowship. So I'll read verse 12 again of 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, it's futile, it's useless. And your faith, your believing, is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. It's not possible for the dead to be raised, then God could not have raised up Christ. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is vain, it's futile, it's useless, you're yet in your sins. Now look at this. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. See, if the dead can't be raised, then those Christians who have fallen asleep, which is a phrase used meaning that Christians die, then they have perished. See, we know that Christians die. The question is, are they perished, meaning they'll be dead forever? Or are they simply sleeping and will awake when the Lord returns? Well, the testimony of the scriptures is very clear that Christians who have died are simply sleeping, waiting for the Lord to return. But there are those in the fellowship, or those in the fellowship in Corinth, that didn't believe that. They believed that there is no resurrection of the dead, so when you die, you have perished. You are completely abolished, completely terminated, and there is nothing in the future for you. Yet that's not what the scriptures say. Let's go back to verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is vain, it's empty, it's futile, it's useless. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. So a great distinction there, again in verse 18, between death and perishing. Because it says, if the dead rise not, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, those Christians who have died, are perished. But of course, that's not the case. We all will fall asleep if the Lord tarries, but none of us will perish. We won't be wiped out forever. We'll simply sleep until the Lord returns. And one more here to close for the day in Hebrews 2, verse 14. Then next time we'll pick up some difficult verses, meaning ones that have confused people and made them think the dead really are alive. Some of them are a little involved, but we'll work our way through them one at a time. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. There we go. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now the rest of the verse in the New American Standard Bible reads, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, the devil's still there, there is still death, but because Jesus Christ took part of death for us, through death he rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil is there, but he has no power over us. He can't make us perish. He may have some part in us dying, or he might not, but regardless, he can't stop God raising us from the dead and us having eternal life. So it's very comforting to know that although if the Lord tarries, we all will die one day, it's not forever. It's temporary, we're asleep, and then in the future we'll get up. And in future sessions, we'll get into more detail about that. Many of these verses you've seen before, but we'll go through them in some detail about how the dead will be raised and what we will go on to eternal life with the Lord. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints, for the joy of being with them today to look into your word. Thankful we can meet again on the 8th and 22nd of May and continue this great topic of how Jesus Christ conquered death and we get to have eternal life as a result. Thank you for this, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.